Jesus Christ says, and you'll recognize the words in Matthew chapter 7, anyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And then we had up here during our mission spot, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's chapter 19. It ended with a full stop. I don't think it ends with a full stop in the scripture. In the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So here is discipleship, making disciples, baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not clear that it only meant getting them wet through the rite of baptism. The word in Greek means immersion. And if Jesus could have easily been saying, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, and soak them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. It's quite easy to recognize the language that we're. In English, we turn baptizo into baptize, and we think that every time they ever used that word, they meant dunking people in water, but that is not the case. It was regularly used to talk about a teabag steeping in a pot of water. Something stewing. Something taking on the flavor of the other thing. And this matters to us, I think, when we're talking about discipleship, when we're talking about missional discipleship. So I read scripture, and I'm going to finish by reading scripture, and it's the same spot in scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 ends, since you've been born again, verse 23, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And then it continues. If you look at just the very next chapter, it says chapter 2, verse 1, but it's the same letter without a break. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Just put it away, disciples. Followers of Jesus. Like newborn infants, by the way, Greek for infant, this is fantastic, Greek for infant is the same word as Greek for fetus. The child in the Greek lexicon of the language of the New Testament was no difference between in utero and recently born. It was little human, not big yet, from conception until childhood. And I think that that matters to us today, because we say, we make these little juxtapositions in our minds, and we say fetus, it's not a person yet. And we say baby, oh, it's a person. And it's not true in the thinking of the people in the First Testament. It's not true in reality now, no matter which words we use. That's a total aside. Like newborn infants in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, long for pure spiritual milk. The translation of that, I think, is perhaps poor. You will find this word translated spiritual in Romans chapter 12, your spiritual act of worship also, but logikon is also justifiably translated as, it's actually a phrase, logikon, adalon, gala, is justifiably translated as pure milk of the word. Okay, so they said spiritual milk. But even if you find a King James Bible on one of the pews, it also is validly translated, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Do you see that in verse 3? Okay? Salvation, if you have indeed tasted that the Lord is good. And so that trails on from other discussions that we've had around here about salvation. Is it for everyone? Jesus died for all sins, so everybody out there is already forgiven and we're going to see them all in heaven? And then you get a verse like this, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. I think there's an urgency for us as Christians to evangelize, to make what's true known to people who don't know the message. The gospel. And that discipleship is bringing the truth to people who don't know it, because they will suffer. And it frustrates us to hear that anyone else will suffer. and we worry about other people that we don't feel like we have a chance with, and we want to be consoled because we don't think that we have a chance with them, and it lets us off the hook of feeling that we're the one to do it. But I think because of language in Scripture that says that there are sheep and goats that are separated, and that once has entered into my rest, and you, away with you, that we have to know that what we can't do ourselves, we're appealing to God through in prayer. What we won't be able to do in the life of a family member, for example, who doesn't listen to us because maybe we've at some point gone on like a broken record, that God has a million other people in the world who can also be involved in that person's life who we desperately want to see saved. And so what I'm saying this morning is, if you don't esteem yourself as an evangelist, and if in the mission of making disciples you don't see yourself as frontline mouth telling the story for other people to hear, that there are other roles we play in the body of Christ that contribute to the message reaching people who don't know. That any one of us in this room talking randomly to someone outside in the world might be how God is answering the prayer of another family member, of another person to whom we find ourselves right across from. In the same way that we as a family member, frustrated that we can't reach somebody, can appeal to the Lord to reach them with someone else out there coming into their life. Does that make sense? Verse 4, as you come to him, Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual, and that's pneumatikos, so it's different from the other spiritual, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. And then Peter tells us they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. I believe, as I read that scripture, that they're destined to stumble because they who disobey the word must stumble, as opposed to they were always destined to disobey the word. I do not believe that God created people on purpose to be people who would fail and who would end up lost. I don't accept that premise from the hyper-Calvinist who says God ordains some people to salvation and he ordains other people to damnation. This is not acceptable. In light of Father God, who gave free will, who desires that all men be saved, that Jesus' death on the cross was enough for everyone, but that God will have no hostages in heaven. God will have no prisoners in heaven. And the only people required to go and to spend eternity with God are people who would choose to spend eternity with God. And he's made the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Verse 11, Peter says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Do you see that? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, because they will say, you Christians, you haters, I can't believe you said that's sin, it's not sin, don't tell me I'm a sinner, you rotten so-and-so. It will happen. They do not want to hear it. They'll see your good deeds. And on the day of visitation, they will glorify God. He was right. It's true. They tried to warn me. They were faithful, and I wouldn't listen. Don't anybody in this room be confronted by somebody on the day of judgment and say, why didn't you tell me? Why were you so uncomfortable with the truth that you wouldn't let me know that? Why were you so polite and so wonderful at tea so many afternoons that you wouldn't tell me the truth that meant the difference between life and death as I now will go and face eternity without God? I mean, that's a hypothetical conversation. That conversation won't happen because the split is at the door and there's no further discussion. But now is the time. I don't want to light a fire under you or crack a whip over your head or put a spear at your back and say, go out there and tell people. But I don't believe Scripture leaves you alternatives. And so I will preach it faithfully so that we hear this. Verse 13 is what I didn't preach at the Kirkin of the Council last week because you just can only say so many things. But be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And that's the end of the bits of Scripture. So it's the first letter of Peter. It's chapter 1 and chapter 2, not the entirety of either chapter. And then here's the summing up of it. You decide if you agree with me in what I'm about to say based on what we've read this morning. We, the body of Christ, bring this message about Jesus Christ, right? The message, the gospel, the good news. And we bring it in word and deed to the world. So you can proclaim what is true by quoting Scripture or telling Bible stories or saying Jesus, his heart toward you was this way, right? Or it's what we do. Hey, yeah, I can. I'll be happy to do that. No, don't worry. You've asked me to walk a mile. I'll walk another mile. No, we'll go up and we'll help clean out the glen on this cleanup day because that's something that I like to do too. I think stewardship of the Lord's resources is all of our responsibilities. And I want to be a part of our community and you're my neighbor, so I'll work with you on the glen, for example. Right? In word and deed. How we say it and how we live is how people hear the message. So if I'm like, you don't do this, you're bad, and so that's the message. Well, they walk away, and that's the sad, that's the taste in the mouth. It's rather tinny, like the vessel. If we say, you know what, I love you dearly, and despite the way that you live, you need to know that it is sin, but I'm still a friend of yours, but I wouldn't be a friend if I didn't tell you that's sin. Well, there's the message in another way. Same thing, different tone. Hearing the message and believing is how people get saved. From the eternity that awaits all of us, the people that are saved are people who hear and who believe. And saved people put the message into practice. That's all of us. That's any of us who believe that we follow Jesus Christ. We put that message into practice, building on a rock because we're wise. If you are saved, you live differently because of what you believe. Because Jesus is Lord, we cooperate with others the Lord is using to reach the lost. So if you don't go, you somehow cooperate with someone who does, or somewhere that supports someone who does. So as John brings to us the story about Brazil, and he has a picture of a family who's helping with that work, and those people are going, and you don't have plans to go to Brazil to help people to learn in their off time when they're not working, but someone does, and that person is bringing the gospel, then you can consider that's a way to participate. People who don't believe are lost. This is the teaching of Scripture. When the Bible teaches about judgment and the sheep and the goats, the lost people are the goats. People who don't believe and trust Jesus and his teachings will go to hell. Eternity, separated from God, separated from saved loved ones. This is what the Bible teaches. But rather than run around with our hair on fire and screaming, "The end is nigh," we can calmly live our lives in an unashamed obedience to the teachings of God in the Bible. Uncompromised. Noticeably different. We pursue holiness. Pursue it. I mean, try and reach it. And then deal with what happens when we fall short. And keep short accounts and come to God and seek His forgiveness for when we're not that way. We teach others what God requires, what holiness is, right? Making disciples. When we fail, as we all do, we have a Father in heaven who knows our heart, that we love the Lord and long to follow Him, who sees our weaknesses, that we cannot succeed without His help, who answers our cry, "Abba, Father, please have mercy on me, a sinner." That's what I observe in the scripture this morning. That's what we read at the end of Peter's writing when he said, "He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." Father God, we want to take that good news to people in a generation that is passing away, that they might live. We ask that you would make us to be a people of power who proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ and who live it in every moment that we spend. Please, God, will you guide us? Please, will you make us to be the message incarnate? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.